Please remember to watch your language.
Look, I can't speak without swearing, and I've only got my grade 10, and I haven't had a cigarette since I've been arrested, and I'm ready to f***ing snap. So I'd like to make a request under the People's Freedom of Choices and Voices Act that I be able to smoke and swear in your courtroom. Because if I can't smoke and swear, I'm f***ed.
The following programming may contain content that some listeners find offensive. If you are sensitive to foul language or explicit content, please turn your radio the f*** off now.
It's the Fun Drive 2016 edition of Radio Free Thinker. This week, it's time to open up your wallets and donate to CITR and Radio Free Thinker to help ensure its positive path to progress. Let's begin episode 329.
It's time for Radio Free Thinker, the show that applies skepticism and critical thinking to everyday issues. The place where reason and reality cross sword, politics, religion, economics, and of course, science. Now let's get ready to be skeptical.
The cosmos is also within us. We're made of sparks. We are away from the cosmos to know itself.
Across the sea of space, the stars are others. We have traveled this way before. And there is much to be learned.
Hello and welcome. It's I, Don, your skeptical philosopher and political scientist, joining you live in the studio for, oh my God, I can't remember the last time I was live in the studio. Joining me this week on the Fun Drive edition is Matt, our on-again, off-again co-host. Say hello, Matt.
Hello, Matt. How's everybody doing?
Hey, not too bad, not too bad. So let's start off with the Pledge Drive. So everyone knows that this week is Fun Drive. Fun Drive is a time when you, our listeners, come and you say, hey, can I help out? And we say, yes, give us some of your money. The money itself is going to be used to help increase the diversity by bringing new people into the studio, like Matt, Gulid, Nicholas, people who listened to them before on the show, providing more training and all that so that we can give more to the community by you giving to us, providing a greater diversity of voices on air as well. You can donate by calling 604-822-8648 or go to citr.ca/fundrive. Matt, why are you here?
Because, you know, it's my day off. I thought I'd stop by and say hi. I just wanted to talk about why it's so important to give. I mean, he was talking about diversity and bringing other people in, such as myself and Gulad and Nick. And we just do that on our spare time because not only do we like the show, but we like to spread knowledge. We like to share, our experiences and other experiences with the world. And Don was talking about being able to bring us in for more, and I think that if there was more funding for Don and for the show, we'd be able to actually contribute more to you guys and to the radio station as a whole.
And bringing more people into the community. This is community radio. It provides voices. You hear things on Radio Free Thinker and the other shows you just don't get from mainstream media. Opinions, views like that. But let's start off on something a little weirder. Give ourselves a bit of chance to break into the new studio. We often have very unique music on this show. Symphony of Science has been one of my favorites. It's in our theme songs. So I'm going to start off with A Wave of Reason and a little plug from our Prairie correspondent. So let's listen in.
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking. A way of skeptically interrogating the universe.
If we are not able to ask skeptical questions, to be skeptical of those in authority, then we're up for grabs.
In all of science, we're looking for a balance between data and theory. You don't have to delude yourself with Iron Age fairy tales.
The same spiritual fulfillment that people find in religion can be found in science by coming to know, if you will, the mind of God.
The real world, as it actually is not evil. It's remarkable. And the way to understand the physical world is to use science.
There is a new wave of reason. sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason.
Cosmology brings us face to face with the deepest mysteries, with questions that were once treated only in religion and myth.
The desire to be connected with the cosmos reflects a profound reality. We are connected, not in the trivial ways that astrology promises, but in the deepest ways.
I can't believe the special stories that have been made up about our relationship to the universe at large. But look at what's out there. It isn't in proportion.
Science is more than a body of knowledge. It's a way of thinking. A way of skeptically interrogating the universe.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason.
Teach a man to reason.
Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
Never let yourself be diverted by what you wish to believe, but look only and solely at what are the facts.
Enjoy the fantasy, the thought, the story, but make sure that there's a clear, sharp line drawn on the floor. To do otherwise is to embrace man.
There is a new wave of reason sweeping across America, Britain, Europe, Australia, South America, the Middle East and Africa. There is a new wave of reason where superstition had a firm hold.
Teach a man to reason.
Teach a man to reason.
Think for a lifetime.
Think for a lifetime.
Welcome to Pledge Week, coming to you from the virtual studio of Radio Free Thinker at CITR 101.9 FM. This is the Prairie Correspondent. Some of the listeners to Radio Free Thinker will have heard my modest attempts at radio journalism, and I have to thank Don for providing me with the opportunity to do so. It all started with a story I related to Don about the shoddy treatment of a homeless person in a large department store by an employee. After I finished, he suggested perhaps others might like to hear my story, and it might help shed some light on how some of our fellow human beings are living their lives. I was hesitant, but with his encouragement, I began to see the bigger picture, and I'm glad he didn't take my hesitancy as an outright no, but simply, you know, that feeling of what difference would it make? He persevered, and indeed, what difference can any of us make if we choose to do nothing? Shows like Radio Free Thinker and stations like CITR 101.9 provide access for people like me and people like you to stand on the proverbial soapbox. I recently had the opportunity to sit in on a raw version of the show a couple of weeks ago, and then to listen to the finished product. Well, initially I thought about Don's preparation for the show as like fun, and I'd love to do something like that because it seems so easy when I listened to the result when it aired on the podcast. But let me tell you, after listening to the unedited baby at the startup and the polished adult fit for airing, I was gobsmacked. It was like turning sheep shear into cashmere. Don pulls hours of raw material into an informative, entertaining hour show we listen to weekly. Not so much fun in the making, I discovered, but as I listened to the finished product, well worth it. All of the participants to the show that is Radio Free Thinker strive to educate, inform, and entertain, both in the past and the present. The cohorts have changed from Ethan, Don, Rob, Daniel, and Jenna to Don, Gulad, Nicholas, and Matt. The show format's changed through the years, but Don, who's been with the show since the beginning, has provided the one constant, quality skeptic programming. And what is skepticism? Well, I wanted to get it right, so I Googled it. Skepticism is about the search for knowledge. Its foundations are scientific method, relying on empirical evidence. Skepticism is the process of applying critical thinking, reason, and reality to a given matter. And a skeptic is someone who applies vigorous and systematic research to any claim, regardless of its political, religious, or social implications. By being a participant Radio Free Thinker, whether one of the regulars or as a casual guest, the learning value is quantitative, in that we're learning the basic skill of democracy, of making our point, our quest, if you will, in an effective and fruitful manner. It assists in the discipline of compiling materials and researching ideas and then presenting them in a cohesive, informative manner. Campus radio stations like CTIR and shows like Radio Free Thinker are honing the skills of countless young people to prepare them in the world after academia. Skills that will serve them well in their future endeavors. Campus radio as well provides access to under-the-radar news stories, not deemed by mass media to be relevant. We know different. Don scours the news, items gleaned from science, social, politics, health, you name it. Anything he thinks is of interest to his listeners, and yes, sometimes items he feels you should be hearing about, but wouldn't necessarily anywhere else. You, as the listeners, are always welcome and encouraged to contribute to any program items you wish. After all, what better way to get great ideas for upcoming shows? Loyal listeners who have been with Radio Free Thinker since inception are well aware of the diversified topics it has placed before you, from your enjoyment and, yes, perhaps your consternation. All of the programs you hear on CITR are available for free. The program hosts and producers receive no salary. They donate countless hours to produce the shows you hear. All of what I just spoke would not be possible without listeners such as you who are willing to donate. Please donate to Radio Free Thinker and CITR 101.9 FM and help them in their mission to provide you, the listener, with quality programming. This is Prairie Correspondent. Let's make tomorrow better than today. And donate whatever you're able to Radio Free Thinker and CITR.
Thank you very much from the Prairie Correspondent. I hope you guys were listening that, you know, a lot of time and effort goes into producing every one of these shows. Well, okay, maybe not today's show, as you'll see, has a few rough edges on it.
Yeah.
But the shows you've heard in the past, you know, I spend hours and hours doing research, editing. I bringing people in who also spend lots of time, like Matt, I know, has been spending hours and hours of research on before we find out what he's been researching lately, let us remind our listeners that you can send your donations right now to citr.ca/fundrive or phone 604-822-8648. Donate whatever you want, although most people recommend the 101.9 level of support. And on that note,
that's $101,000, right?
$101.90.
Okay.
But if you do donate, if you get the $30 pledge level, you get a Friends of CITR card. The $60 one is a Friends of CITR plus a CITR growler. Matt, what the hell is a growler?
A growler, Donald. A growler is something the kids use these days to fill their ales and beers. I believe I'm not a cool kid, so. But you can use this. It's about, let's see, several liters, I guess. I don't know for sure. I'm not that cool. But either way, you can use it to refill your beer at local breweries and things like that.
So you could get on tap in a bottle.
In a bottle, yeah.
As opposed to just buying a bottle of beer.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Oh, no, hey. Like, if you're into that sort of thing, far be it from me to dissuade you. If you donate the $101.9 of money, you get the CITR card, you get the growler, and you get a CITR notebook, which I think used to be referred to as an analog computer.
And we can sign that for you if you'd like. That'll increase the value or decrease the value, however you look at it.
It will. Hey, I'm going to be famous one day. In fact, I think I'm famous already.
You are, to me.
At $175, you get the Friends of CITR card, the crawler, the notebook, and a swag bag and Pop Alliance LP. If I remember correctly, the Pop Alliance LP is a special album that CITR, of like cool hip music type people. And if you like that sort of thing, it's an improvement. Last year they had a cassette that they handed out. This year they've got this arrangement to do LPs, which is neat for the people into LPs.
And bad for all the old people using cassettes.
Yes. Well, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy came, it went. At $250, you get a framed Discordia cover of your choice, plus all the other things I mentioned. At the $500 range, one, I will take you out for dinner at McDonald's. Two, all of the above, an on-air shout-out, and a 10-song playlist of your choice. Of course, if you were doing that for Radio Free Thinker, we would make it a 20-minute segment of your choice. Whatever you want us to do, we would do. And at $1,000, you'd get two dinners with me at McDonald's.
Ooh.
Each donor will also be listed on a cassette tape, cassette tape's back, and placed upon the door of the donation wall in the new sub. And everyone might not know, but we are now in the new sub, the new CITR radio station. And part of the money that was spent last year was to make sure we have the state-of-the-art equipment, all the neat and nifty things.
True. However, I think the thermostat might need a little bit of work. The on-air light bulb things, those don't work. So
there is still room for improvement, which is why every year we have this shout out for please help us make the show, the station, everything better for you.
Yeah, and cooler for us, because two men sweating in a room, it's not a steam room, so it's
Yes, cool. Yes. Well, let's not get X-rated here, Matt. And please put your pants back on.
All right, sorry.
So, Matt, what have you been researching? Today is just any other Tuesday, isn't it?
It is not. Well, I mean, here it is in Canada. But, Donald, I think all the listeners know it is some kind of Super Tuesday, some kind of very Super Tuesday in America.
Yes, today is the day where about half of the available delegates are going to be given away to both Republican and Democratic races. The Democratic one is turning out to be not quite as exciting as I had hoped it to be. Bernie Sanders, after having a great win in Vermont, well, actually, I guess he lost. He lost the caucuses, but just by like two flips of a coin toss.
Yeah, essentially.
And then he won New Hampshire, and he won Nevada. Did he win Nevada?
I would have to do.
Yeah. Anyhow,
He was
on the upswing, yeah. And then South Carolina hit, and South Carolina. Oh, right. He lost Nevada, but just by a slim one, and that was expected to be a firewall for Hillary Clinton, and it turned out to be not.
Which is why it was so interesting, and that one was very. Did he ask for a recount? That would have been amazing.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But then I went to South Carolina. South Carolina, again, one of the things Hillary has on her advantage is she has the black vote, and they have a strong machine in the southern states. So a lot of the black vote in the United States votes with the sort of party lines, mm-hmm. and that gives Hillary Clinton this an institutional advantage.
Somewhat of a boost.
And now we saw in South Carolina where she walked away with it. It was like 75% to 25% sort of margin. Bernie Sanders got one out of six black votes.
Not what I expected.
No. So tomorrow there are some highlights. Colorado's up for grabs and a few other ones that he might do well. But most of the tallying says that about 6 out of 11 are going to be Clinton's pretty strongly. Mr. Sanders, Mr. B. Sanders, I won't mention the first name, might be competitive in the other ones, but we will see. But where the real story is in the Republican side of the race, where you have Mr. Trump mm-hmm. not only shedding the I am the laughing buffoon of the race, and it's just I'll be a joke for a week, and then I'll be out of it, but is now almost the unstoppable nominee. He has won three of the last four primary caucuses for the Republicans. He is looking really, really good in the Super Tuesdays. The big test for him is going to be Texas, which is Ted Cruz's home state. If he wins Texas, and I think signs are pointing that he might win Texas, that basically knocks Cruz out of the race, and then you have a Rubio Trump sort of runoff where you get. And it's funny, I see interviews with some of the establishment Republicans where they sit there and they're going, holy crap, we cannot have Trump as our nominee. What the heck is going on? Matt, I've talked too long. What the heck is going on?
Okay, so I've been rattling my brain with this, and then so I did a good amount of research into interesting things, such as if Trump is getting some kind of monetary kickback here. So if there are tax breaks, I wasn't able to find anything super concrete about it, but it's looking like it is. And now one thing that everybody needs to remember is that Donald Trump is one of a couple things. One, he is loaning money to the campaign. He's not self-funding this, which goes into the fact that he's an incredible liar, and he does it very well. And now he's a brand man. And people love that brand. So part of the reason I think he's doing so well in this race is because he, quote unquote, tells it like it is. And that's essentially, he tells the people what they want to hear. That is not only a lie most of the time, but that's what's getting him so many votes, except for the ones that actually know about what needs to happen to actually run the party well.
Yeah, so like the serious politicians know what's kind of going on. But I was listening to Democracy Now! This morning, and they made a very interesting thing. Note is that one of the things that has helped Trump win in popularity is he's saying things that the Tea Party type, the sort of deep and dark part of the Republican Party, everyone knew it, right? But they were too polished of politicians. I mean, you just can't go out there and say, listen, I would deport all the Muslims. A rational politician knows that's not something you can say on a national stage.
Yeah.
But Trump is not a politician. Remember, Trump has had no political experience at all, right? This is actually also makes him quite unique in the history of American politics.
False, because you have Schwarzenegger, who didn't have a lot of political...
Presidential.
You said political? I'm here to fact check.
But we'll go back to Schwarzenegger because Schwarzenegger is important in another respect. But but again, so he doesn't. So he says, you know, we will do all these things. He says, beat up that bum who heckled me. Whereas a rational politician wouldn't do it.
Sorry, who was the actor? Was that Reagan? No, not Reagan.
Yeah,
that was the actor.
Ronald Reagan was the actor.
Okay, cool. I just want to bring that up as well. Anyway. You can continue, or I can play off what you were just about to say.
Ronald Reagan was also governor of California, and to just quickly tie up my little bit that I hinted about Schwarzenegger, when he first ran, was sounding a bit like a Donald Trump, a toned-down Donald Trump, but still in that sort of vein. And establishment conservatives and all that were quite relieved that Schwarzenegger basically has ruled from not quite the center, but a lot more to the center than would have been expected based on his rhetoric.
Yeah.
But you were talking about Bedtime for Bonzo, which was Reagan's classic movie.
It's fantastic. Actually, what I was thinking about was Back to the Future when Doc Brown asks, you know, who's president? And, you know, he's Ronald Reagan, the actor. But, and this is an interesting point. We were talking to someone that Donna and I both know, just a brief acquaintance, but he was mentioning to me how not only does Trump flip-flop, and some people will call it flip-flop, some people will call it just blatant lies, like John Oliver would, but which, if you haven't seen the bit about Trump, from John Oliver, on Sunday. You must watch. Very good.
Yeah.
Either way, a lot of people are saying that if he does make it in, he might sit towards the middle. You know, he'll do whatever he can to make the quote unquote people happy. So.
Well, then that plays into another thing that came up over the weekend, where he was asked what he thought of David Duke's support for his candidacy, and David Duke is a famous Ku Klux Klan man,
yeah.
And basically Trump had said, well, I don't know the guy, and I'm not going to make a position on something I don't know. And granted, if you listen to the interview, when the word KKK came out explicitly with regards to David Duke, it was kind of muffled in there, because Trump has come out and said, listen, I had a bad earpiece. I heard David Duke, but I didn't hear anything else. Of course, part of that is dissuaded by the fact that in the This Week Tonight, the John Oliver show, mm-hmm. he had mentioned that Trump dropped out of the Libertarian Party because they had a KKK member as one of the people running it. And he says, I don't want to be associated with those kind of people. So he is a little waffling on that. But he also famously tweeted out a quote by Mussolini that had said that it is better to die a lion in 1 year than live as a coward for 100 or something yeah. akin to that. I'm butchering the quote. But so one of the things that has come out is that Trump is showing signs of being an authoritarian, that he doesn't believe in democracy, that this cult of personality, which he does play very well, better than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been noticing that the use of force in his rallies have become, I mean, people are not being taken out back and beaten up.
No.
But people are being physically assaulted at his rallies. Noticeably, there was a rally he had, I think, this weekend at a school, and a group of black students, they were students at the school that he was talking, were forced out because they were black, or that seems to be the only reason why. I mean, I think the reason why Trump would have had them out is because he's thinking, there's a group of minorities, they're probably going to shout Black Lives Matter or something.
Yeah.
Let's get rid of them before they have the chance. But essentially, they were tried and convicted because of the color of their skin.
Yeah.
And that the worry is that Trump may take power and use power unlike anyone else has for a very long time.
Yeah, and it reminds me of how Harper used to take his meetings and things like that to distant areas away from, you know, native populations and bar them out and things like that. So it's just scary to remember these kinds of things and know about them. I think the other thing is he essentially is a fascist. Like he, sorry. And you're right about using that kind of force. However, I think what he'll use more than anything else instead of the force is the media to create force, right? So
it's a politics of fear.
It's a politics of fear, right? And the American media is a news of fear. It's media of fear. Like, that's what they use. It's you can look anywhere and that's what you'll see. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Nightcrawler, but it's with Jake Gyllenhaal, and it's just about, you know, filming gruesome scenes because the media in the United States thrives off this.
If it bleeds, it leads.
If it bleeds, it leads. That's exactly right. So, and now you're seeing not just that, but you're also seeing if it's racist as well, it'll lead, or if there's some kind of fear. Which is created as a vicious cycle. Like, it'll just keep going. So I think he'll use that, and he has been using that to gain popularity. But he'll use that during his time, if he is elected. Oh, God, hopefully not. But if he is elected, he will be using that to create more fear, and we'll see some kind of some backlash to that.
In fact, it was interesting. I was listening to I was listening to Real Time with Bill Maher, and yes, I don't watch Bill Maher in general. One moment. That one moment was brought to you by a cough. Thank you for listening to Radio Free Thinker, the cough-free...
Cough edition.
But no, so I was, and they had a retired but major Army general guy on there who had pointed out that some of the things that Donald Trump has been saying, that, you know, not only will we waterboard, but we'll do more, that Donald Trump has called for the assassination of the families of suspected terrorists.
Right, yeah.
And that the military will basically say, no, we're not going to do that. And with good cause, because we had the whole Nazi thing where, you know, I was ordered to do it. Well, there are some orders you should not follow. And Trump has been saying some things that military people have said, no, that goes against, you know.
It's a war crime.
Exactly. And so we're not going to do it. On that note, we're going to try for another little bit of a break with real commercials. So we may be back after this.
Every day, CITR signs up new members, teaches them how to use microphones, edit audio, write about music, and cover topics vital to our community. Not only are we training authentic media producers, but we're also growing future leaders. By supporting the 2016 Fund Drive, you'll support training and development opportunities for our student members and the CITR community. Call 604-822-8648, 604-UBC-UNIT, or donate online at citr.ca/donate.
Who will win the digital revolution? On Sunday, March 6th at the Downtown VPL, join Robert McChesney and John Nichols in conversation on their new book, People Get Ready, The Fight Against a Jobless Economy and a Citizenless Democracy, in a fundraiser by Open Media and Media Democracy Project Vancouver. Tickets are $5 for students and seniors and $10 for general. Available at openmedia.org/en/events.
And we're back. So this is the CITR Fun Drive edition of Radio Free Thinker. Let us not forget that we need your money to help keep diverse voices on the air, to improve the equipment, to increase the recruitment, the training, the productivity. This is independent radio. This is local radio. This is your voice on the air. Matt, why should people donate?
People should donate because it's the right thing to do.
And how would you donate? You would call 604-822-8648 or go to citr.ca/fundrive.
They need to keep the lights on. They need to fix...
Keep the fans going so Matt doesn't overheat.
Oh, I'm losing it in here. I forgot my deodorant.
So please give what you can. I will reiterate for those who weren't listening. $30, you get Friends of CITR card. $60, you get that growler thing for carrying your beer around in public, which I think is a crime, but I'm not sure.
Drinking, it's a crime.
$101.9 or $101.90 gives you the growler and the notebook and my forever appreciation. And then it goes up from there, which gives you lots of cool stuff.
Like dinners and lunches with Dawn.
Yes.
Signatures and such.
Yeah. Swag. LPs. And
swag is what they call it.
And you go on the website. It'll have it all broken down there. If I don't know if you could say, hey, I don't know what a growler is. It sounds like a bear trying to attack me. They also will give you instead tax donation slips so that you can write off your taxes. I think tax time is occurring sometime around now.
Whatever.
Yes. On that note, we left on war crimes and how the American government...
I was saying to Don, this is a great, you know, this break brought to you by war crimes.
And actually, it's funny, the show that was talking about the show, because to get a little meta here, about how American soldiers won't do war crimes, or saying, you mean you won't do them again? Because, I mean, they did do them during the Bush era, and so...
Yeah.
And there's a lot of question about the killing of people in an extrajudicial manner through drones in the Middle East. And on the topic of the Middle East...
And drones and killing families.
Well, it seems like our air war is now over. The Trudeau government has says we are gone.
On hold. Let's just...
Well, no, because we're increasing, we're tripling the amount of ground forces that are quote-unquote training.
Yeah, so. But anything in military... it's time sensitive, so it's, I would say, on hold just in case something else happens.
Well, you know, I will go with the caution that is the mat. But it also leads to that a quote ceasefire. It's not really a ceasefire. It's more of a lull and cessation of violence, where the Americans and the Russians, with some buy-in on the ground, have basically said, okay, we're going to stop doing any air bombing. Mm-hmm. You guys try not to fight on the ground. And we can get in, you know, some humanitarian relief to a lot of these places that have literally been people starving on the streets. One of the interesting things about that is a lot of people have been calling this a proxy war. And it seems so hilarious that the Americans and the Russians have agreed not to do any violence. But apparently the Assad government and a lot of the, you know, sort of free Syrians have basically, yeah, we're not sure if we're going to buy into that. With the two exceptions that ISIS is still fair game. And there's one other one, this, I can't remember their names now.
Is it Hezbollah? But that's farther down.
No, Hezbollah supports the Syrian government, so they would be part, considered to be part of it, yeah. What a tangled web we weave.
Boy, oh boy.
But
girl, oh girl.
My, oh my.
Oh my, oh my.
Got to find the right words for the right time.
That's right.
But that leads into to the interesting thing that, that Matt, you haven't talked a lot about the Syrian war, have you?
I try and stay away from talking about war.
That we have Canadian boots on the ground. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, the issue, I mean, you have Assad, who is a bastard and we should try and get rid of, but we did that in Libya, and Libya is now a failed state with two or three governments currently claiming to be the government. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you had the Free Syrian Army, which is like, hey, they're the good guys, but the Free Syrian Army was never the Free Syrian Army. It was like Bob's group here and Fred's group over there, and let's pretend Jane's group over here. We want diversity.
That's right.
And there was no real single one, and that became really uncomfortable when groups like Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah and ISIS got mixed up in all that. And now we have ISIS as its own separate thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, who do we bomb?
See, okay, the reason I like to stay out of this kind of thing is because there's almost no right answer, especially if you look inside, like if you at least if as I look inside, you know, I like to keep as passive as possible. I like to, you know, my aggression is fairly limited to, you know, sports generally speaking. Can't control that one.
No,
but boots on the ground, I think, is in times like this, is very important. It's something I can't comprehend, sitting in one of the most beautiful cities in the world and one of the least aggressive cities in the world, to try and put myself in the mindset of, should we go bomb these people? Should we kill these people in order to create peace, right? However, you know, you're exposed to all of this information, and all this emotion, and all of the right and wrong conversation, and I believe that we have no choice in a lot of ways but to be there. And again, like, this is coming from somebody who does not support war whatsoever, but things like ISIS, and I would never say this usually, but should be wiped off the map. And that, it's very difficult to do that. Like, let's put it in a sense of, ISIS is essentially a cancer, if, you know, on society, and on peace or whatever. And bombing, using drones or whatever, would be chemotherapy, right? That would be the eradication, the easiest way to do it. But we need a much more direct approach, and I don't know what that approach is. Boots on the ground, trying to find the leaders, cut the head off, whatever, whatever. And I think, you know, I have no strategy, but I would say that's the right thing to do, and we should keep doing that.
I think, I will add an extra dimension that I think Matt is grasping for. Well, because
straws, Don. Straws is what I'm grasping for.
Let us go with your analogy, because I think it's a good analogy, about how ISIS is a cancer in the region. Mm-hmm. And I think the only problem with your chemotherapy, again, nice analogy, is that this is not sort of the first ISIS. Before ISIS, there's Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and there's Nusra's. This is the latest iteration of what I might generously call batshit crazy people, right?
We can say shit on the radio?
Yeah, not too much. I do have a content warning at the beginning of the show, so.
Oh.
The problem is that you kill the cancer, but the radioactive material, that is the mess that Iraq and those places are, still remains. So even if you get rid of this cancer, you haven't eliminated the underlying cause of the cancers to be created. So sure, we get rid of ISIS, and if nothing else changes, there will be an ISIS take two.
Right, which is, I mean, essentially, I forget what the actual, mission is called, but it's, the United States has the mission where they go in and they try and train. And
well, you see, there again, and you hit on it good. Yeah, we train up the forces so they can maintain the peace. And it turns out that that was largely a paper tiger. What we forget is that we actually did occupation pretty good, at least twice, the Americans did, twice in history, Germany and Japan. And what was the big secret about there was not so much having a lot of soldiers on there and rebuilding their armed forces. In fact, to a certain degree, that was sort of the antithesis. But they put in millions and billions of dollars to rebuild the infrastructure, rebuild the economy. And the Americans have done a real piss poor job of that in Iraq, for example, right? Yeah, they've sent billions of dollars over there, but almost all of it goes into the military. And none of it goes into rebuilding the water supply, rebuilding the electrical system. And you've got now an insurgence that makes it even harder for them to do it. Because if you do rebuild a power plant, ISIS will try and blow it up, right? One of the things that people have been stunned is that ISIS hasn't destroyed the Mosul Dam, because that would cause a huge flood that wouldn't affect the ISIS territory very much, but it would affect the rest of Iraq. But there's even batshit crazy has its limits, I guess. But I think that's the one area where you would need to fix things isn't with military, but is with trying to rebuild the economy, rebuild the infrastructure. And that's where the Americans' imperialist sort of current take has basically said, we can't do this because, one, we don't want to, but we don't have the authenticity. No, what we were talking before about, American troops committing war crimes, that Donald Trump got elected, they wouldn't do that. And I had to add, wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
Right? That a lot of the things that we get this with Apple and the Apple not wanting to give the CIA a back door or front door. Actually, someone put it nicely. You're right, it's not a back door. It's a front window that they want Apple to smash through. Right? It's not so much that you can't make a logical argument that, okay, in this one particular case, sure, maybe we can agree with you. But if we do in this one case, we're going to have to trust you that you won't do it in other cases. And that trust isn't there.
Well, so, like, as I mentioned before, and I think as you're, like, you questioned about whether we should have boots on the ground. And I think, as you mentioned, ISIS is just going to blow it up, right? They're just going to somehow find a way to screw it up. So military presence at the beginning would be necessary. Now, one of the things about rebuilding the infrastructure, would be very difficult, depending on how they do it, because there's such, it would cost so much to actually create a balanced society in Syria, Iraq, all these kinds of places where it would be sustainable, because there is no infrastructure I wouldn't say there is none, but there is a large economic disparity between, certain areas, right? So in order to actually create something sustainable, it would be very difficult, for one. And also, we talk about how America is already there and America should help, or America doesn't want to help, or whatever it might be. But let's tie this into, the Paris talks for the environmental climate talks last fall, winter, whatever. But you have all of these countries signing on to give, $10 billion, $100 billion a
year? Lots of money.
Lots and lots of pocket change. That is a lot of dead piggy banks. And if this was something that we could do for failed states, for places that are affected by, ISIS or Hezbollah, all this terrorism that's going on, that would be something that I think everyone would benefit from.
Well, and I think you mentioned thinking climate change is a great thing, is people say, well, we can't afford to do this, like carbon tax. But at the same time, they forget the fact that how much more are we paying for things like elevated water, extreme weather events and all that, right? So in a way, you are paying one way or the other. And you can either do it efficiently through something like a carbon tax or inefficiently through something like let's just wait till the next superstorm hits and attacks. To tie this into Syria, Iraq and all that, what's the other big story of last year and will be again this year? Syrian refugees, right? How much is it going to cost Europe alone to absorb these Syrian refugees? Not to mention the other costs, like right now, Greece is on the verge of collapse because Europe has basically said, no, you got to keep them because we're not going to let them cross our borders. And you've got this wave of refugees just piling up in Greece. How much money have they spent on the military to try and prop up the military? If they had taken that, I mean, you can't have a time machine, but if you go back to day one after they got rid of Saddam Hussein, and they gave Iraq $1 trillion to rebuild its economy and its infrastructure.
Well, not give them.
Invest.
Invest.
And even if you said, at the time, you said, holy, that's way too much money. But it has cost the Americans more than trillions and trillions of dollars to be there. And that's not including any of the other costs that you get because you now have this mega war on terrorism. And I should point out that we got a $101.9 donation online. That raises our current fund drive total to $14,224.70. Woohoo! Thank you to whoever donated. It is very much appreciated.
That's actually substantial, but it's definitely can be more.
It can be. That's the first step of one of many, I guess we'll say. Mm-hmm. And maybe on that positive note, we'll do another sort of commercially thing and another shout out from the Prairie Correspondents. And we'll talk about having left you on the cliffhanger of a failed state of Iraq and what would have happened if we had a time machine.
Here in Vancouver, we celebrate our diversity and culture. And CITR is making Fun Drive all about it. Our goal this year is to raise funds to help grow more writers, broadcasters, and media producers, increasing the unique voices that grace our airwaves. Whether it's about specific cultural communities, musical genres, or alternative news, we want to hear it. Be a part of CITR's community. Donate, get cool swag, and party with us. Call 604-822-8648, that's 604-UBC-UNIT, or donate online at citr.ca/donate.
Leave alternative radio stations like CITR 101.9 FM at UBC is more important in today's world than at any other time. There seems to be a proliferation of establishment-based news and music for us to listen to, all regurgitating the same information in a predictable format. The news of the day stories, you know, the ones we all want to hear. At least that's what mass media tells us and no doubt believes themselves. Music paid to be played continuously, top 10 playlists of music by popular artists, the ones we should be listening to, according to the big promotion companies, regardless of quality and entertainment value. News readers, reading the lines placed before them that you just heard an hour ago, every hour, on the hour. Newscasts on every station, infomercials, passed off as news that are really ads or promotionals. One event news days, items broadcast 24 hours to the exclusion of whatever else went on that day, until I want to scream, stop, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Mass media tends to supply its listeners with a popular view, mass acceptance. Take polls as an example, though I'm not just referring to elections, it fits the line. We hear a popular point of view, and what we are led to believe is that's the mainline thought, the acceptable option, perhaps the only one. Everyone seems to think so. A result we don't agree with, but because we're hearing only that opinion with repetition from other outfits, we begin to rethink our stance. We begin to doubt. But that isn't the only point of view. That's only the mandate set out by a particular media brand, by mass media, and we're being conditioned to respond to their expectations. Alternative radio stations such as CITR 101.9 FM offer community connection. Shows put on by everyday people in the community. Voice given to many of us who would have no way of making our points of view known or hearing others just like us. on stations like CITR 101.9 FM, we also hear from people not at all like us, people we would never get to interact with if we relied on mass media. Alternative radio provides us with a different perspective than ours. We're not force-fed a specific ideology. Alternative radio lets you know there are many ways of thinking about something, many ways to make a decision. Mass media, on the other hand, because they're funded by commercial entities, have vested interests. They're beholden to channeling us into preconditioned outcome. It is, after all, their bread and butter. With ever-increasing consistency, we've heard of one large media buying out another, forming huge conglomerations. What do you think that does to our access to diversified information system? The result is a lack of news. And I say that in capital letters. We are being fed a steady stream of self-serving pap, the popular items of the day, deemed to be the required mass fodder by some moneyed organization sitting in some office in some big high-rise in some big city, serving their own interests. We need choices. Stations like CITR 101.9 FM and shows like Radio Free Thinker offer that choice. Loyal listeners are well aware of the bountiful programming available on campus radio. Welcome, if you're one of those listeners. Please keep in mind, we need your continued support in maintaining the high standards you've set forward for us. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you like what you hear, we ask for your support as well. Please help us provide that choice I spoke of earlier. I know personally the countless hours Dawn puts into every segment of Radio Free Thinker, providing information for you to decipher in your own skeptic's mind. Dawn and his crew look forward to hearing from any of the listeners to Radio Free Thinker and your continued support. Please support your local university radio station, CITR 101.9 FM, and Radio Free Thinker. Have a great 2016.
And we're back. Welcome back to the Fun Drive, emphasis on the fun edition of Radio Free Thinker. Today we are raising funds for CITR, and you could do so by calling in at 604-822-8648 or going online for all you computer nerds at citr.ca/fundrive.
You did that almost as if you were a professional.
Almost.
And
almost
Matt,
broke the radio.
Yeah, he's having fun with the new mics, these state-of-the-art mics that made possible by donations from people like you.
That's right.
And now that we have the fancy mics, now we need to bring in people like Matt and all that so that they can entertain people like you.
And if he breaks another one, they can your money will pay for it.
Matt, say something funny. Okay, that wasn't fair.
Poop? I don't know. Hey, I got you to laugh. I can tell a joke. Shall I tell a joke?
Okay.
Okay. Why does the mermaid wear seashells?
I don't know.
Because she grew out of her bee shells.
Okay. What do you get when you cross a minister with a junkie?
Oh, I don't know.
A high priest.
Oh.
And on that note,
do we have that ba-dum-bum soundtrack?
I have had. So, Matt, let's bring this a little bit local. We have dispensaries all throughout the city. Marijuana has basically been made legal in this country, and yet it's not. One, what are your thoughts of recreational drug use in the sense of cannabis? We'll leave the hard drugs out of this because that adds a whole other layer of, of poop.
Layer of poop.
So, Matt, what do you think about the whole legalization?
I think it is...
Pseudo-legalization.
Currently pseudo. I mean, from what I understand, we are doing our best, even though it'll break treaties, et cetera, et cetera. But it's practically legal. But yes, I am for. In fact, just a side note here. I got an A- on my English 101, so to speak, paper for legalization of marijuana. So just, you know, before it was cool.
Right, right.
If you will.
Well, and I will point out, we have actually done evidence-based policy on the legalization of the drug war in general, vis-a-vis, you know, should we legalize, should we look in experiments around the world? And by and large, the legalization has proven to be much better than the criminalization and treating addiction as as a disease as opposed to a crime.
There is so much research on how it actually can be good for you, right? And, or, you know, in general.
And we should add a caveat, kind of like with red wine. There's lots of evidence that says a glass or two a day is probably okay.
Yeah.
If you're a banger who's smoking 15 pounds a day of pot.
Banger.
Yeah.
Banger, Don.
Headbanger.
Sure. I don't know if that's what the kids are calling it these days. But there is a lot of evidence on how it can be good for certain things like depression. There's a recent article that I read today. CBD, cannabidiol, which is one of the components actually found in marijuana, but it can have fast-acting antidepressant effects. So there's that, along with, you know, a lot of other things for ADD, or ADHD, I guess now, but there's a lot to it. Now, aside from those things, I think, you know, legal, recreational pot smoking is something that would, I think, benefit some people just in a, you know, in a positive way, because I know a lot of some of my friends don't like to, you know, drink. I have a friend who's doing a cleanse right now, who we both know, but either way, and alcohol is one of the things you cannot have on the cleanse, but marijuana is something you can.
We will be doing a whole segment about cleanses, by the way, but that just shows the diversity that even people who believe in woo will still be our friends.
Absolutely. Okay. We accept all.
So here's a question then for you, Matt, because this is where I find an interesting, you know, the lefties kind of get themselves twisted up. Because on the one hand, it's like, yes, let's legalize pot and all that sort of stuff. But at the same time, we don't want any corporations, we don't want anyone to grow it. Like, we don't want it to become like a cash crop, because if it becomes a cash crop, we're somehow supporting big corp. So there is a recent Supreme Court case that said that you are allowed to grow your own for medicinal uses.
Yeah.
And ideally, you know, sure, if you have your own area that you can grow your own plants, that's great. But at the same time, I should be able to grow my own carrots and grow my own stuff. I don't. I go and I buy Jolly Green Giant peas or whatever.
Right.
So you get people who are simultaneously for the establishment of the dispensaries, but at the same time are in absolute terror that it may actually become a legal for-profit industry.
Right. Okay, so I would say that is definitely a subsection, though. Right? You do have a lot of people who are excited in the prospect that it's going to be a little bit more regulated, more quality, less shady, quote unquote. So you have, there's a lot of benefits to it, right? Yes, it will be more expensive and things like this, but I think one of the things that, you know, we'll have with the market, so speaking, in Vancouver, is all these small dispensaries. I don't think it's going to be something that will create large corporations for marijuana. Like, I think that it will be, if this does go somewhere, that it would be a good thing.
You don't think you'll get big tobacco from, I mean it's a natural
big wacky analogy. Tobacco.
Yes.
It is a natural analogy, but I think what's a closer analogy would be microbreweries. I think that's more what it would be.
And on that note, because again, we're dealing with live TV, so live radio, so I can't do the editing I normally do. We have to hurry up and say goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye.
This is Don saying, well, first of all, please donate. Go to call 604-822-8648 or go to citr.ca/fundrive to donate. Matt, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Remember to stay open, stay healthy, stay happy.
And this is Don saying, eyes open, minds on.
If you wish to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe.
Thanks for listening to Radio Free Thinker. Remember to visit us online at radiofreethinker.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. If you have any local skeptical events you would like us to mention on the air, email us at info@radiofreethinker.com.
Venture to the stars. A still more glorious dawn awaits, not a sunrise, but a galaxy rise. A morning filled with 400 billion suns. The rising of the Milky Way.
The cosmos is full beyond measure.
every century, our eyes on the universe have been opened anew. We are witness to the very brink of time and space.
We must ask ourselves, we who are so proud of our accomplishments, what is our place in the cosmic perspective of life? The cosmic perspective of
the exploration of the cosmos is a voyage of self-discovery.
As long as there have been humans, we have searched for our place in the cosmos.
Are there things about the universe that will be forever beyond our grasp? Are there things about the universe that are ungraspable?
One of the great revelations of space exploration is the image of the Earth, finite and lonely, bearing the entire human species through the oceans of space and time.
Matter flows from place to place and momentarily comes together to be you. Some people find that thought disturbing. I find the reality thrilling.
As the ancient mythmakers knew, we're children equally of the earth and the sky. In our tenure on this planet, we've accumulated dangerous evolutionary baggage. We've also acquired passion for others, love for our children, and a great, soaring, passionate intelligence, the clear tools for our continued survival.
We must ask ourselves, we who are so proud of our accomplishments, what is our place in the cosmic perspective of life? Cosmic perspective.
We could be in the middle of an intergalactic conversation and we wouldn't even know.
Are there things about the universe that will be forever beyond our grasp? Are there things about the universe that are ungraspable?
One of the great revelations of space exploration is the image of the Earth, finite and lonely, bearing the entire human species through the oceans of space and time.
Matter flows from place to place and momentarily comes together to be you. Some people find that thought disturbing. I find the reality thrilling.
We've begun at last to wonder about our origins, star stuff, contemplating the stars, tracing that long path. Our obligation to survive and flourish is owed not just to ourselves, but also to that cosmos, ancient and vast, from which we spring.
One of the great revelations of space exploration is the image of the Earth, finite and lonely, bearing the entire human species through the oceans of space and time.
Matter flows from place to place and momentarily comes together to be you. Some people find that thought disturbing. I find the reality thrilling.
Think of how many stars and planets and kinds of life there may be in this vast and awesome universe.
Century, our eyes on the universe have been opened anew. We are witness to the very brink of time and space.